Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today, we continue our travel article. We are on page 19. And I have two panelists back in the studio with me. Welcome back, Charlotte.
It's great to be back.
Charlotte, what did we discuss yesterday?
Well, we were talking about crowds and traveling in Europe and also in the U.S.
All right. Yes, it can be overcrowded when we travel to a lot of these popular destinations. We also have back with us today, Josh. Welcome.
Thank you, Brandon. It's good to be back talking about one of my favorite subjects, traveling.
Yes, you enjoy traveling, right? And we learned yesterday that you are a planner, which is important when it comes to travel. And what tips do you have considering over-tourism? Let's review just a little bit from yesterday. If someone's thinking, wow, you know, this place is crowded during this time of the year, what should they do?
Well, there's a couple things that you can do. One, I think we talked about yesterday, is just to set realistic expectations. So if you do some research and you realize that a place is going to be crowded, then you'll have to understand while you're there that you're going to run into certain things that you might not enjoy as much. But if you expect it, it may not be a surprise or may not be as much of a problem.
Yes.
But the other thing you can do is to try to go on the slightly off-season or off-peak times, because it can be a little bit cheaper, but certainly less crowded.
That's true. You have to prepare yourself mentally, right? If it's going to be crowded, I do, because I don't like crowds. No one really likes it, but I really don't like crowds. So, but if I'm prepared for it mentally, then hopefully when I get there, it will not be as bad. Well, we are switching gears a little bit today. We're still talking about travel. We're talking about travel dilemmas. What is our subject today, Charlotte?
That's a subject I like a lot, which is packing. And I kind of consider myself an expert packer now.
All right.
Usually I can get my suitcase to, like, a few grams just under the weight limit when I'm packing, so I don't have to pay extra.
Yes, I don't like paying extra, and I'm weighing it constantly, and then I'm moving things around and trying to get that perfect number. Usually, of course, I use pounds in the United States, like 50 pounds is usually the limit, and so I try to get it exactly to that, and it's not easy. But today we're talking about, Josh, protecting our electronics and our checked bag. What do you do, Josh, when it comes to electronics? Do you usually carry them with you? Do you put them in your checked baggage? What do you do?
So I've had a couple experiences traveling with electronics, and sometimes it can really be a dilemma. So a dilemma is usually, when we talk about a dilemma, we mean something where there's not a real obvious good solution.
Yeah.
Or maybe the two ways to deal with a situation are not the best ways. You can say that's a dilemma as well. There have been times when I've been moving overseas where I've had to take a lot of my electronics with me, and most of them are I consider them to be expensive, even though they're not necessarily top of the line. And so being able to move them around safely and to make sure that they don't get damaged or lost is kind of a big deal. But it can also be very inconvenient to carry a lot of things around with you.
Yeah, it can be very inconvenient. So the question is, can you protect electronics in your checked bag? Again, remind us of what a checked bag is, Charlotte.
Right. So when you're traveling, the luggage that you carry onto the plane with you is called your carry-on luggage, or sometimes hand luggage. And the suitcase or the bags that you give to the airline and entrust them to get it to the other side for you are called your checked bags, because you check them in.
Yes. And we all love doing that, right? And airlines change their policies from time to time. Some are more strict when it comes to checked baggage. You have to pay for an extra bag or something like that. And so that is not fun. So sometimes you have to get creative in how you travel, right? Maybe just have a carry-on or something like that. But today we're really focusing on what you should do with your electronics. So if you have your magazine, please open it up to page 19. You can also follow along on your digital device. Right now we'll have our first reading for today.
Travel dilemmas. Can you protect electronics in your checked bag? It had already been a long trip, and the laptop and camera in my backpack seemed to get heavier with each dash through the airport. Why not just dump them into my checked bag? Conventional wisdom says it's not a good idea to pack anything of value in your checked bags, which have, from time to time, proved shopping marts for thieves. Anyone who is packing electronics in checked baggage should be aware that you aren't totally protected if your e-stuff is damaged or missing.
All right, well, if you have lots of electronic items, they can become really heavy, Charlotte, if you're carrying them all around with you.
That's right. Oftentimes, if I go on a longer trip, I might have to do some work while I'm traveling, so it's not an option to leave my laptop at home.
Mm.
So I might have a laptop, maybe a phone, some chargers, a camera, maybe an iPad. And all of these things in a backpack or a purse can really get very heavy when you have a lot of walking through an airport.
That's right. So what should you do with them? That's the question, right, Josh?
That is the question, and like we said, it's a dilemma, so there isn't always really one clear, good answer. So here they're talking about how, and like Charlotte said, when you're carrying a bunch of electronic items with you, especially when you're dashing through the airport, and there has certainly been times when I've had not a lot of time in order to make a connection, and also when you're traveling internationally, usually you will have to go through more than just one security station. So sometimes when you enter into a country, you have to go through security again, meaning that you have to unpack everything. And if you have a lot of electronic items, it can really add to the time because you have to bring out your laptop, you have to bring out your camera, you have to inspect everything individually sometimes. And if you have short connection times, that really means that you have to dash or run fast in order to make your next flight.
That's a really good point. If you don't have a lot of time when you're connecting, then this could be a problem. It could be a real dilemma. So think about that as you plan your next trip. So why not, Charlotte, why not just dump them into your checked bag? Do you think that's going to work?
I would be really hesitant to do that. I would be worried that my luggage might get lost, it might get damaged. You know, I've heard that they really throw the suitcases around in the airport, and there might be other problems as well.
Well, what does conventional wisdom say? First of all, what is conventional wisdom?
So conventional wisdom is the what usually everybody holds to be true. So everybody really understands that it's not a good idea to put valuables into your checked luggage. And here they say not just because it's easy to get damaged or lost, but there's another issue too, that it's been known to happen where somewhere along the line, maybe someone will go through your checked luggage, and in the course of doing so, if they see something that's worth a lot of money, just go ahead and take it.
Yes, and they use the word proved here, that, you know, it's proved shopping marts for thieves, and that just means it's... proved in this sense means it has a particular result. And so a lot of people have had their things stolen as a result of packing them in their checked baggage. And so many people say don't do that. Anyone who is packing electronics in checked baggage should be aware that you aren't totally protected. Now, they're talking about insurance here, right? You may purchase travel insurance, but it may not cover everything.
Right, so if something gets lost or stolen from your bag, you can always complain to the airline or file a report, but they are not necessarily responsible or liable for paying you back for that thing that's missing.
Yeah. So you really have to check the fine print when you purchase travel insurance to see what it covers and then follow that procedure.
It's true, and you know, most airlines do have a policy of giving you at least some compensation if they lose your bags altogether, but usually it's not for very much. Like it might be, for example, if you have luggage that's lost, not just your electronic items, but your clothes. If it's damaged beyond repair, sometimes the airlines will give you a little bit of money, but usually it's not anywhere near what it costs for you to get the items in the first place.
All right, so you do need insurance, and what kind of insurance? Well, you'll have to study that as I said, look at the details and see if it fits your needs. But next, we will talk about exactly that. We will talk about insurance. So let's find out all about it in our next reading.
Enter the insurance zone. Many travel insurance companies will cover loss or damage, said Julie Lafrady, travel editor for Insure My Trip, a travel insurance comparison site. But, she said, the amounts can vary significantly, and some plans do not offer coverage for laptops. If you're carrying a top-of-the-line laptop or expensive camera equipment, you may not recoup much.
Okay, so many companies, many insurance companies, they will actually cover loss or damage to your property, maybe a laptop or something like that. But it can really vary, right? The amounts can vary actually significantly.
Right. I usually buy my travel insurance from a website online, and the basic plan doesn't cover electronics. If you want to cover laptops or cameras, you actually have to buy an additional coverage, and you have to enter in the serial number of your laptop so that they can prove, or if it's lost, they can, you know, it's so, and you, yeah, per device usually. So you have to think, is this really worth it to pay more for this thing that might or might not get lost?
That's the question. Is it really worth it? Charlotte, how do you determine that for yourself?
Well, when my laptop was brand new, I was definitely more likely to insure it. And now sometimes I think, well, if it goes missing, it might be a good excuse to get a better one.
Okay, that's a good point. Josh, how about you? Do you usually purchase travel insurance?
You know, I have purchased travel insurance before, but it depended a lot on the destination. So travel insurance is more than just for loss of items or equipment. It could also be for health purposes, and also if you run into trouble for evacuation. So there have been some destinations when I've gone to where everyone has said that purchasing, especially travel insurance that covers emergency health costs, is a good idea, and I've done that. And then, like Charlotte said, many of those insurance plans will also add what they call like riders or plans where for an additional cost you can get additional coverage for your personal items as well.
Now, yes, I've done it for the health reason, you know, to purchase travel insurance or some sort of short-term health insurance, because I'm afraid if I get sick and I need to go to the hospital or something, then, and I don't have insurance, then that could be a problem. And so I want to be covered on that. I'm not sure, you know, I've never used that, and I've never used travel insurance for an item that has been lost or stolen. However, I did lose something recently on the plane. I left it there. I had the cord to my computer, my laptop, and I just totally forgot that I had taken it out of my bag, my carry-on bag, and I put it in the seat pocket. And I don't normally do that, so I guess I didn't think to really check for that. And I lost it, and I never got it back. I cried. I got over it. I didn't cry, but I did. I went out and bought another one. But, you know, some of those things you just replace. But if it's something like a brand new laptop, it's nice to have that covered.
Right. And here it says if you're carrying top of the line stuff, and that just means the best brand or the most expensive. So especially for cameras, if you're a photographer, if you're really serious, you might have a telephoto lens that's worth more than an entire laptop.
Just, you know, carry it around your neck the whole time.
Right.
But if you do that, if you lose it or it's stolen, you may not recoup much. And that's a good word to know. What does it mean when we talk about recouping something?
So usually we talk about in terms of like when you have lost something to be able to recoup the cost or the item, which means to get it back.
That's right. Okay, so we've talked about the dilemma, you know, what should we do with our electronics, and then we've talked about insurance. That's a possibility, something to look into, see if it covers your items. That's important. But maybe there are some other options, some other things to think about. We have a few tips to give you in the last half of our article. Before we dig into that discussion, let's go to our last reading for today.
What are your options? Carry a just-for-work-or-play laptop that is functional, but whose loss won't ruin your life. I have a 7-year-old netbook that lets me write and edit, but not much more than that. Cautionary note, make sure it is backed up. Carry a just-for-pictures cell phone. I bought a used Microsoft Lumia 640 cell phone for an international trip for about $50. It gave me the flexibility to buy a local SIM card and have connectivity that way, and also to have a great camera. Carry nothing and fly first or business class. On a recent Air Canada Rouge flight, I wound up in first class and was offered an iPad. Buy a cell phone with the biggest screen you can and leave everything else behind. But here's the rub. You may despise trying to read the tiny print, even if you can enlarge it. Detox by detaching from your addictions. It's my least favorite idea, and yet, in a world driven by constant connectivity, is it possible that no choice is the best choice?
Okay, so let's look at the other options. The first one talks about carrying a just-for-work-or-play laptop. And what do you think about this idea, Charlotte?
Well, I think nowadays most people might own one or more laptops, especially as we continue to keep upgrading our devices. So I think it might be a good option to grab your old laptop out, mm-hmm. as long as you don't mind maybe the slow speed.
Yeah.
So the 7-year-old netbook that the writer talks about, I think, would probably be a little frustrating for me if I was trying to use.
It would be, yeah. You still want it to be functional, at least. It says here it needs to be useful, of course. Otherwise, what's the point? So if you have an older laptop, that's something to think about. And I think that's kind of common sense. If you're afraid that your new laptop is going to be stolen, well, take your old one if you have one and it's functional. But there's something that we need to be aware of, right? We need to have some caution.
Right here it talks about making sure that your work and all of your data is backed up, meaning that it's saved someplace so that... Now, obviously, the reason why they're suggesting bringing an older laptop is that if you lose it, or if it gets stolen, or if it gets damaged, it's not as big of a deal. But we all know that sometimes the most valuable part of an electronic device isn't the device itself, but what's on it.
That's right.
So if you bring along something that's intended to be losable, you just want to make sure that you have saved or backed up the information on it so that when you lose it, you can still access it in some way.
Okay, so tip number one is carry an older laptop with you instead of your brand new one. Tip number two is what?
Carry an extra cell phone that's just for pictures. So I think nowadays people don't necessarily want to carry a camera around with them and take a lot of pictures with their phones, but maybe you're afraid that your phone that you use for almost everything in life now will get lost, so maybe purchasing a phone that has a really good camera but doesn't maybe have a lot of other functions could be an option.
Yeah, so the writer of this article, she did this, and she bought a used phone, a Microsoft cell phone. She did this for an international trip, and Josh, it only cost her $50, and so it wasn't a major investment, and it probably gave her peace of mind. She didn't need to use her more expensive phone.
Yeah, so I think that this is maybe a possible option for a lot of people, but I certainly have never explored this before. I kind of went the opposite route with mine. I went for a very expensive cell phone that is also waterproof and incredibly rugged, so I don't have to worry so much about carrying it with me wherever I go, even if it's rainy or muddy. I know that my cell phone is going to be okay. So for me, I end up carrying it with me, so I don't have to worry about it getting lost or damaged quite as much. But if I did not want to do that, I would maybe consider doing something like this, where I find like a decent used phone that's unlocked that I could use internationally.
Or maybe if you have a good insurance policy on your phone,
sure,
then that's another option. You don't have to worry about buying another one. I personally don't think I would want to buy an extra phone. How about you, Charlotte?
Yeah, I don't think so either, although I did have a problem on a trip to Japan one time where I did buy a local SIM card so that I could have some data, you know, I could access maps. And then when I returned home, I couldn't quite figure out how to get my phone back to its settings right. for here, so I had to take it into the store. And so it might be a nice idea to just have a separate device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this gave her some flexibility. She could have that local SIM card in the country that she was visiting, and she could be connected, but also she could have a great camera. So this is something that seemed to work for her. So that's another option to think about. Or you could just carry nothing, Josh, and fly in style.
Right, so this is not something that would ever occur to me, actually. But and I did not realize this because usually I'm looking at discount flights. So I'm really trying to get the cheapest ticket I can that'll still allow me to get to my destinations. But I know that that is not always the way to go, and that certainly a big perk for some airlines is that they will provide you with, you know, sort of temporary technology that you can use in order to do whatever you need to do while you're flying, be it staying connected or checking your email, whatever. And this was an example, flying first or business class on Air Canada, that she got an iPad to use. Now, a lot of people, when they are flying on longer trips, do need to do things like checking their email or maybe working a little bit. And so that is an option of just sort of borrowing a device for a short period of time.
I haven't seen this. Of course, I don't normally fly first class. I think the only time I've done that is on a domestic flight in the U.S., and it's only because I was bumped up because I actually had to pay for it. But it's good to know that they offer you iPads on this Canadian flight. I guess I need to fly Air Canada.
That's right. Well, because I'm from Canada, I do fly Air Canada pretty often. And even in economy class, the iPads are available for rent.
Oh, nice.
So you could pay some money. You know, in first class, of course, it would be a free amenity that you could use. But in economy, you could also pay. And I think even for things like playing games, which is passes the time, to have a slightly bigger screen might help with maybe getting a headache or eye strain when you're traveling.
Yeah. Now, do they also have TV screens on the back of the seats, or do the iPads replace that?
Increasingly, they're replacing that.
Right. That makes more sense that they would do that. Okay, so you could carry nothing and just fly first class. Or, the next tip, you could buy a cell phone with a bigger screen, Josh.
So here, they're trying to get sort of this idea of consolidation instead of bringing a lot of different electronic devices with you, to plan ahead by buying a cell phone with the biggest screen that you can and leaving everything else behind. The idea being that this large cell phone with the largest screen would sort of be maybe not the most ideal situation, but you could use it for work, you could use it for play, you could also maybe use it for some data and sort of for some as a camera as well. But here they say that there is a little bit of a problem, though.
That's right. They say it's the rub. Here's the rub. What does that mean, first of all?
It kind of means, another idiom we could use is there's a catch. It means there's something that might be unpleasant or inconvenient about it. And what that is here is that you have to still look at a small screen.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to read, it might really become a problem.
Yeah, if you have poor eyesight, of course, that could be an issue. If you have a long flight, you may get tired of that. Or, you know, there's something else called a phablet, which is a cross between a phone and a tablet, or a phone and tablet hybrid. And so the screen might be a little larger than a traditional phone, maybe a little smaller than a traditional tablet, I guess. But that is something that you could check out as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's the last tip here, Charlotte?
Well, the word they use here is detox, which is a word we usually talk about with addiction. And here they say e-diction, so that would be your addiction to electronic devices. And when I was traveling in Africa, it really was hard to find Wi-Fi in many places. And so I did feel like I was kind of detoxing a little bit from usually being connected all the time.
And how was that?
Most of the time it was fine. I didn't miss it. But on the day that I was catching my flight to return home, I did feel some anxiety of not being able to check if there were any delays or anything happening.
It can be good to detox. And often when we use that word, we're talking about maybe for your body. You know, you don't eat certain things or you do something to remove the harmful foods or drinks or even drugs from your body. And you kind of say you're detoxing for your own health. But here we're talking about maybe for your mental health.
Right.
You just kind of leave the phone behind, leave the laptop behind, and you don't go online, and you kind of detox. And that can be good for us to do that from time to time. And we can detach or detach from our addictions. Well, it's her least favorite idea, maybe because of what Charlotte was talking about. You can become kind of anxious. You're so used to being attached to those things. But in a world driven by constant connectivity, is it possible that no choice is the best choice? What do you think about that?
Well, for this author, I don't know if she's talking about doing a lot of international travel or travel to areas where she's not comfortable with either the location or the language, because it's not just about connectivity. It's not just about being able to, you know, read news clips or answer emails or even get updates on your flights. It also can be very much about getting to a location, being able to check in, being able to do some translation in an area where you don't know the language and you haven't had a time in order to learn, let's say, for example, enough Swahili in order to be able to get you through the airport. Now, obviously, English is a great language to use because there are many places around the world where English is kind of your passport to be able to move around in other countries where even English is not the main language. But it's very handy to be able to have an electronic device with some data on it in order to be able to use things just like Google Translate, which is maybe not the best translation, but sometimes it's enough in order to get you through.
Right? Yeah.
So I can understand where detaching yourself or separating yourself from your addiction of being constantly connected is something that people would find maybe even valuable. But there are certain parts of having electronic devices that are not just about staying connected, but actually giving you better access to areas that you wouldn't normally get without them.
So,
right?
Of course, so there are pros and cons.
There are pros and cons to everything, right?
All right. Well, we are out of time for today, but we have more to talk about tomorrow and this 3-day travel article. So please join us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon,
Charlotte,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.